see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. 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 A man without a face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome wherever you're listening, however you're listening. It is my hope that this show, that this particular subject matter will teach you the patterns of your enemy, and show you that what has been said about them is true, which confirms what Yeshua, Jesus, said about them as well. We've been in the book here by, it's a Catholic document by Maurice Pinet, and it's called The Plot Against the Church. And when he's saying the church, he just means the Catholic Roman Catholic Church, and the or Babylonian Catholic Church, whichever you want to call it. And they don't believe that there's any other church than theirs, as you well know. There was an amazing admission at the end of last week. And this is something that I'm going to repeat at the beginning of this show. It's very quick, so it's not like a long, lengthy thing. But this proves to you, I told you that the democracy is for the Jews. And when I tell you something, I mean it. Now listen to this. Neshab, which is prick your ears up or listen carefully in Hebrew. In order to destroy the former society, which rejected him, writes Drumont, listen, the Jew has understood how to place himself at the head of the democratic movement. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? And who heads the democratic movement in the world right now? A crypto-Jew who's not admitting he's a Jew, named Mr. T-Rump, right? Or if you go into the other countries, the white countries of the world, in Germany, we have another crypto Jew, and then in the UK, we have another crypto Jew, and then in France, we have Macron the Jew, etc., etc. So, the statement one more time. The Jew has understood how to place himself at the head of the democratic movement. Now, I must remind you that this was from a long time ago. So if the Jew knew how to get himself at the head of the democratic movement then, what do you think he's doing now? The article continues. Karl Marx, LaSalle, the most principal nihilists, all leaders of the worldwide revolution are Jews. In this manner, the Jews represent the leadership of the movements, which suits them. Let us not forget that the founders of the International in the year of 1864 were the Jews Marx, Neumeyer, Freiburg, James Cohen, Aaron, Adler, Frankel, and the sole non-Jew, and that's with a question mark because we don't know if he's a non-Jew, Gompers. So think about that. All the names there, this was going on in 1864. You see where we're at now, right? See, this is shortly after Napoleon let them out of the ghettos in the late 1700s. By 1815, they had started all kinds of trouble. And there were revolutions going on every so many years. I never even heard about the 1848. And then there was this other one, I believe it was 1871. Yeah. So you can see what's going on. In our country, the same things are going on right now. In all of our countries. So it continues. In order to direct the revolutionary movement in France, listen, the so-called newspaper, L'Humanité, was founded. See, these Jews have been, they always bring up this humanity nonsense. So the name of the paper is Humanity. For this purpose, a subscription was opened, which brought in the sum of 780,000 francs. Let us mention the names of the 12 contributors who, by chance, quote-unquote, were all Jews. Now make sure you listen to these Jewish names. You'll connect a few dots here. Are you ready? And I told you EZ at the end of these Mexicans and all everything are Jews. Now listen. Levi, Bruhl, Levi Bram, A. Dreyfus, L. Dreyfus, Eli Rodriguez. Listen to this next name. Leon Picard. Can you say Captain Picard? Now, I don't mean that he's a Jew, but I mean the name is a Jew. Blum, or Blum, B-L-U-M. Roof, which is R-O-U-F-F. Kasavitz, Salmon, Renek, and Sachs, like Goldman Sachs. After one has read the proceeding, one cannot wonder that at the Jewish Synod of Leipzig on the 29th of June, 1869, the following resolution was accepted. You ready? This is the resolution that was accepted. The synod recognizes that the development and carrying through of modern revolutionary principles are the firmest guarantee for the present and the future of Jewry and its members. They are the most important conditions of life for the expanding existence and the greatest development of Jewry. So, the religious sect of Jewry recognized. Remember what a synod is? We'll look it up again just for the sake of it, okay? It's a bunch of religious men that get together to decide things about their religion. But let me, if I remember correctly, right? We looked it up before. an assembly of the clergy, which would mean like rabbis to in their own thing, an assembly of the clergy, and sometimes also the laity of the diocese or other division of a particular church, a Presbyterian ecclesiastical court above the presbyteries and subject to the General Assembly. Okay, so that's what a synod is. So this is a Jewish synod that's being talked about. And it says, I'm going to read this again. Please pay attention. The synod recognizes that the development and carrying through of modern revolutionary principles are the firmest guarantee for the present and the future of Jewry and its members. They are the most important conditions of life for the expanding existence and the greatest development of Jewry. In many respects, the revolution has only been the application of the ideal that Israel has brought to the world. As Leroy Beaulieu writes, an author who is in no way accused of anti-Jewishism, one must give him justice for the importance of Jewish infiltration in the revolutionary work cannot be denied. Organization of the League of Nations. We have seen the League of Nations, which was founded and maintained by the same secret forces which we have already encountered when it was a matter of destruction. Today, Freemasonry, their helpers, the left parties. I mean, I'm just going to stop right there and take a sip of my iced coffee while you contemplate that. Remember now, the League of Nations was proposed in 1815, and the Tsar, not the one that they killed his family, but his predecessor, he torpedoed it. That was how it was put. He said, no way, Jose. And basically, that was when the Rothschilds, which I'm sure was the head of the Jews at the time because of their money, they told them that they'd get them, the family of the one who torpedoed it. And so what happened was they had to wait 102 years to get this revenge. And that's when the Tsar and his family were killed. And they stole all of his money and everything else. That's the beginning of the Bolshevik Revolution. Again, revolution. And that's what this is talking about. So who helped the revolution in all the countries? Who is helping the revolution that's going in all of our countries right now? Why, it's the same people that it's saying right here. It says, today, Freemasonry, their helpers and the left parties, and behind everything, the Jewish people, attempt to destroy national feeling and the sovereignty of the state through the creation of an international super government. And at that time, you see, at the same time, to demoralize the peoples with an anti-militaristic and pacifistic view. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a second because this is what's going on in America. So after World War I, when Germany really won the war, but they said they lost the war, that's when the League of Nations was instituted. And it was done secretly, like it says here. It was in the Treaty of Versailles that it was instituted. So right after they took out the Tsar in Russia, and the war ended in World War I, they wrote up this and instituted this League of Nations. So it was done by secret forces. It was done by war. You know, when you talk about the underground during the war, like when you saw Hogan's Heroes and you thought like, oh, this is wonderful. They're harming their own brethren, their own racial brethren, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of dirty play going on, you know, because the ends justify the means with these people. And this ends justify the means thing is a means to help these people deal with their consciences. You see, it's a way of explaining why they're doing things, evil things that they're doing, and saying, well, you know, the ends justify the means. You see, we had to go to these kinds of measures in order to accomplish what we needed to accomplish. And the most important thing is that we've accomplished what we needed to, even though we used evil to do it. You see what I'm trying to say to you? So, what do you say? I'm going to read this again. I'm sorry that I have to keep reading things, but once I explain things again, it all, you know, when I told you when the Tsar was taken out, why the Tsar was taken out, and all these other things, and I told you when the League of Nations was instituted. So let's listen again. We have seen the League of Nations, which was founded and maintained by the same secret forces which we have already encountered, when it was a matter of destruction. Today, Freemasonry and their helpers, the left parties, and behind everything, the Jewish people, attempt to destroy national feeling and the sovereignty of the state through the creation of an international super government, democracy, and at the same time to demoralize the peoples with an anti-militarist and pacifistic propaganda. If national feeling is lost, we will see those people standing completely defenseless against this secret and cunning power, as the Jewish Freemasonic striving for power can be described. Now, who are the Jews supporting today? Which leftist movement are the Jewish people supporting today? Antifa. Well, that was going on in Germany. Antifa is not a new thing, you know. And Freemasonry, I told you, some of these Freemasons are in the Antifa thing. See, a lot of these people that are in Antifa are outcasts in the sense of they're queers, you know, so they have a dog in the fight, so to speak, LGBT. I mean, you should see some of these people that are in this thing. They're freaks. No wonder they want to wear masks. They're freaks. So you see these Antifa freaks. They're against America. They're trying to start a revolution. They're trying to bring the end of the democracy. All these leftist groups, you see what's going on with the Democratic Party, which is the Communist Party. It's been admitted by Saul Alinsky that there's no longer a need for the Communist Party in America because the Democrat Party is the Communist Party. Now, don't misconstrue here that I'm not saying that I'm pro-Republican, because they're all sellouts too. It's just that this is a game. And this is bad news, you know. It's bad news for the American people. So, we can continue here now. Brother Eugen Bertraud has recently proposed to the Grand Lodge, quote-unquote, of France, that Article 17 of the Constitution of the said Grand Lodge, quote-unquote, should be abolished, which prescribes to all its disciples that they should obey the laws of the land in which they have permission to freely assemble, and that they be ready for all sacrifices which their country desires of them. For according to the principles of a universal morality, every Freemason is by definition an essentially free man who only acts according to his conscience, and our Freemasonic conscience cannot compulsively demand of its disciples that they be ready for all sacrifices which the country desires. The abolition which he proposes will suffice in value in protecting the individual conscience, whereby is to be understood that, in case of an increase in traffic conflicts, those individual consciences, according to their own responsibility, will obey or disobey the call of their reason and their belief in the highest truth. Jewish Freemasonic action in the face of Catholicism. The most dignified... Cardinal Caro assures us in his connection that it is beyond doubt that the activity of Freemasonry against the Catholic Church is only the continuation of the war against Christ that has been waged by Jewry for 1900 years. Naturally adjusted to the situation of the Christian world, but which the former has to conduct itself by means of secrecy, cheating, and sanctimoniousness. Let's look that word up. Sanctimoniousness. Yeah. The quality of being hypocritically devout. Sanctimony, hypocrisy. Insincerity. By virtue of pretending to have qualities or beliefs that you do not really have. Now, who did Jesus Christ say were hypocrites? Many, many, many times. The seed line of Cain, the Edomite Jew, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Right? So, of course, who would need to operate with sanctimoniousness, the quality of being hypocritically devout. Like those Pharisees were devout to the Israelite priesthood and to Israel. They weren't. They were hypocrites. Insincerity by the virtue of pretending to have qualities or beliefs that you do not really have. Sanctimoniousness. Now, I didn't know that that's the definition. It's very interesting. I would have liked to see some synonyms there. I don't see any in this particular, of course, not in that one. We'll have to make me look in a bunch of them until we come up with the right one. Well, let's say synonyms. There we go. Sanctimoniousness, synonyms, pious. They were derided as pious, self-righteous boors. Smug, hypocritical, self-righteous, self-satisfied. Goody-goody, informal. Unctuous, holier than thou. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So, back to the article. It said that the former, the Jews, has to conduct itself by means of secrecy, cheating, and sanctimoniousness, hypocrisy, pretending to have beliefs that they don't really have, pretending that they're God's chosen people when they're not, pretending that they believe in the Father in heaven and are on his side, but they're not. Pretending that they obey the Father Yahweh, but they do not. As a matter of fact, they do everything the opposite of obeying the Heavenly Father Yahweh. Okay, back to the article. Let us not forget that rabbinic Jewry is the declared and irreconcilable enemy of Christianity. Well, that is the very thing that the Jews do want you to forget, that they're the Christ killers. As I've told you, they're trying to make what their fable of the Holocaust, this lying story fable, they're trying to make the death of these 6 million Jews, which never happened at all. It was impossible to do. If only it was possible. But they're trying to make that supersede the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And in the Jewish version of Christianity, it seems they've succeeded. So what he's saying here, let us not forget that rabbinic Jewry is the declared and irreconcilable. In other words, they can't be reconciled. They can't be brought out of it. They are the enemy of Christianity, says Webster. The hatred against Christianity and against the person of Christ is no occurrence of recent date, nor can one regard it as the result of persecution. It forms an important component of rabbinical tradition, which has arisen before any kind of persecution of Jews through the Christians took place, and which lasted in our land very much later than after this persecution ended. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you're understanding what's being said here and you realize that this is true. Think about what I'm saying when I say this. That they're trying to make this Holocaust nonsense, this supposed death of 6 million Jews, supersede their killing or crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Father in the flesh. The Father in the flesh is worth more than all the people that have ever lived on this planet. You know how they say one non-Jew is not worth a Jew, a thousand non-Jews aren't worth a Jewish fingernail or something like that? Well, 6 million Jews, if only there were 6 million killed, they're not even close to being worth more than Jesus Christ. Not even 20 billion, trillion, million, gazillion, zillion Jews aren't even worth latching his sandal on his foot. So, I don't know why people would think that this foolish... See, what the premise is this. The Jews are the Christ killers. They've killed Christ. They've been known as the Christ killers ever since then. But now they wanted to find a way to get to ply that apart and to put something, cover something over it. See, again, that's the truth, that they are the killers of Christ, and here they are trying to bury that. They're trying to say, oh, no, we didn't kill Christ, even though they said that his blood be on us and our progeny. You know, they are trying to cover this deed that they've done, crucifying Christ, by this false story, this fake fable, claiming that Christian Germans killed them. So Christianity killed 6 million of them, and they killed only one, Jesus Christ. And that this 6 million supersedes that killing of Christ and covers it over completely, because this 6 million is much more important, right? Wrong. So, let's continue with the article. On its side, the British Guardian, quote unquote, 13th March 1925, makes this assertion. The Christian church is being attacked as never for centuries. As never before for centuries, I think it should say. And this attack is almost exclusively the work of the Jews. Revision of SACR, page 430, 1925. For the rest, the relations of Freemasonry and of Jewry with Bolshevism and Communism in Mexico and in Russia, in Hungary, persecuting the Catholic Church, and with it the whole of Christianity, and the threat of doing this all over the world, are an universal occurrence. Now, the Jews have been attacking Christianity. This Holocaust story is an attack on the Christian German people. And now the whole world, all the churches are Judaized, right? Folks, I hope you can see the importance of what's being said here, because I certainly do. I hope you realize what's happening in the world and what's been happening. Nothing has changed. It's the same old, same old. Now we're in chapter 6 here. Freemasonry favors and spreads communism, which is a Jewish creation. You heard that? Freemasonry favors and spreads communism. Did I not tell you that when you see revolutions in countries, like Brexit is a small revolution right now, right? You'll see the Freemasons in the street. You'll see Antifa in the street. You'll see these outcasts of society, these freaks, these queers and these LGBT freaks that join all this stuff because they've been poisoned by the Jew and now they're being used by the Jew. So here we go, back to the article. Among the abundant documentation which his which Cardinal Caro quotes to show that the Jews and communists spread communism, we select the following. According to the Russian Tribune, which appears in Munich in the Russian language, Jewry in its fight maintains, according to various plans, the following combat organizations. All for the purpose of preparing the triumph of the Third International. So these are organizations that work with Jewry. The Golden International. The Red International. The Black International, or Combat Association of Jewry. And of course, this would include Antifa and groups like it. Black lives don't matter. You know what I mean? Now, it says on these organizations that you could go to chapter 3. Let's do that. We're on page 92 here. Let's go back to chapter 3, which we didn't cover any of those things. These chapters are about communism, and maybe I will go back to it. Who knows? But let's go to chapter 3 and look at this. Ah, now that I see this while I'm here, listen to this. 11 little men made the revolution, said Kurt Eisner, in the intoxication of triumph to his colleague, the minister Auer. That's A-U-E-R. It is no more than right to preserve the unforgettable memory of these little men, who were, in fact, the Jews Max Lowenberg, Dr. Kurt Rosenfeld, hello, Caspar Wolheim, Max Rothschild, Karl Arnold, Cranold, Rosenheck, Birnbaum, Ries, and Kaiser. These 10, with Kurt Eisner, Van Israelowitch, led the presidency of the Revolutionary Court of Germany. All 11 were Freemasons and belonged to the secret lodge N, which had its seat in Munich at number 51 Breenestrauss. Do you find that interesting that there were 11 little men that made the revolution? I'll read a little bit of it. In the year 1918, Germany was a showpiece of communist Jew-directed revolution. The Red Councils of the Republic of Munich was Jewish, as its instigators prove. Liebknecht, Rosa Luxemburg, you've heard of her, Kurt Eisner, and many others. With the fall of the monarchy, the Jews gained control of the country and the German government. Did you just hear that? With ministers of state, Haus and Landsberg appear Kautsky, Cohn, and Hertzfeld. The finance minister was likewise a Jew, and his racial fellow Bernstein as assistant and minister of the interior, likewise a Jew, and sought the collaboration of his racial brother, Dr. Freund, who helped him in his work. Kurt Eisner, the president of the Bavarian Council's Republic, was the instigator of the Bolshevik Revolution in Munich. See, there's much more to learn. I think we'll go back to this another time, and we'll read that later. Let's get back to where we are and continue from there. But that was nice to see that little piece there, wasn't it? It really was quite interesting. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to where we were and continue. A very similar work is performed by Russian Jewry. We, the emigrant Russians, have seen with our own eyes the enormous number of Jews who play a role in the ranks of the instigators of revolution. If we pass over the work of preparation of this revolution and the events of 1905, we will at once see what the Vienna Jewish newspaper called Der Hammer, the Hammer, wrote on occasion of the Bayless affair, an affair of ritual murder in Kiev. Remember that, the Bayless affair, B-E-Y-L-I-S, an affair of ritual murder in Kiev. The judgment in favor of Bayless through the jury amounted to his exoneration, but the character of the ritual murder was proven. Doesn't that sound like today, the same things going on? The Russian government had resolved to declare war on the Jews of Kiev. Now they must know that upon this war, the fate, not of the Jews, for the Jewish people is unconquerable, but of the Russian people depends. For the Russian government, it is a question of life and death. Its victory in this affair will be the beginning of its collapse. May the Russian rulers exercise caution. We will provide proof to the whole world that one cannot meddle unpunished with the Jews, whether the latter are of Kiev or any other place. Der Hammer, number 54, 1911. 1911, 9/11's right there. Mentioned by General Nechavadov in Tsar Nicholas II and the Jews, and by Monsignor Juin in The Jewish Freemason's Danger and the United Front, 1927 edition of Petit Rennes. Unfortunately for Russia and the entire civilized world, this threat was not without consequences. 6 years later, it was turned into a fact. We will quote some figures. The first Workers' and Soldiers' Council, Soviet, was composed of 23 members, of whom 19, again 9, were Jews. The Council of People's Commissars of 1920 had 17 Jews among its 22 members. Among the 43 high officials of the War Commission, 34 were Jews. On the Commissariat of the Interior, there were 54 Jews among the officials. In that, for foreign affairs, 13 Jews and 17 members. In the financial department of the government, the percentage of Jews rose to 86%, and in the court system, up to 95%. Are you hearing what's being said here, ladies and gentlemen? Are you getting this? Because if you're not, you're missing why and what's going on in the world today. I mean, let me just stop right here and say this. You got a Jew, crypto Jew in here for president, as our president of the United States right now. And his cabinet is lopped up with all kinds of Jews, right? And then you have the top three running for, and of course there were more Jews, but let's just say the top three now. Warren is a crypto Jew. Bernie is a Jew. And who's the third one now? Jew Biden, right? I'm telling you, folks, it's unbelievable. Who was president before? A Falasha Jew named Obama. Who was president before that? A Jew Bush. Who was president before that? A Jew Bush. Who was president before that? A Jew Clinton. Nothing's changed. They're trying to do what they did in Russia here, and we're very close. But they're having a lot of problems. Back to the article. In order to briefly summarize the statistic, let us remark that among the 545 most principal agents of the Russian Revolution in question, 447 belong to the chosen people, quote-unquote. That means the alleged chosen people. 68 to different nationalities, Latvians, Germans, Poles, etc., and only 30 were of Russian nationality. How many white men are in the government in America today? Do you know? How many real white men? I mean, you know, you could see Harry Reid when he was in, but he's not a white man. And then you can see these Italians, they're not white men. So how many real white men are in the government today in America, do you think? And on top of that, how many white Christian men are in the government? As was intended. It was supposed to be all Christian white men. These figures, which are taken from Bolshevik information sources, appeared in a pamphlet under the title, Who Rules in Russia?, which was published in New York in 1920. By the way, I saw an article today that says people are leaving New York in droves. Number two, I want to mention something to you. In the movie, The Eternal Jew, it talked about the migrations of rats that followed the migrations of Jews. Los Angeles and New York are heavy-duty Jewish areas. You could just say they're proxies of the Jews. You know, right now in both of those areas, and I'm sure it goes in Chicago and other and Jewrida as well and all that stuff, they're having a rat problem that is magnanimous. It's huge. See, wherever the Jewish rat is, their familiars are with them, the rats. Rats destroy everything. They destroy mankind's things. They destroy our food. They destroy everything, just like Jews do. And they're having a huge problem in L.A. and New York, big time with rats right now. That should tell you something. So, it continues. In his book, Second Manganiello and Lasper Sorio, the lay writer Ernesto Rossi, which means red, disputes violently with the already mentioned periodical Civilta Catholica, quote-unquote, from which he reproduces the following paragraph with the intention of refuting it. Here's the paragraph. We see heroes of the sect who are not able to resist a gift of 2 millions, perpetuated in all cities through statues. We see the sons of these heroes who pocket large sums while despising the dominant misery. Mazzini involved himself with the synagogue, whose fruits of love are very well known in the Campidoglio of Rome. Campidoglio, I guess that's how you'd say it. Garibaldi, Cavour, Farini, Di Pretis were modest servants of the synagogue, and so are still many of those great men to whom the goodwill of the peoples has erected and still erects memorial stones, busts, monuments, in order to glorify their love of freedom and of the fatherland. You see the hypocrisy here, right? Remember when I told you, if you see a statue of General Sherman, who I believe is a Jew, just by the way he conducted warfare, and he was also a Freemason because he had his hand stuck in his coat like Napoleon, the hidden hand, you know, that's what it means, who rules, the hidden hand who rules. So it continues. Many writers of the most different directions have asserted that the Jewish question in Italy did not represent the features of a national disorder. We do not share this opinion and limit ourselves only to recalling that those who introduced communism into our land, Modigliani, Treves, Della Seta, Mussadi, Momigliano, Donati, etc., were Jews. Hear those names? Those were Jew names. Modigliani, Treves, Della Seta, Mussati, Momigliano, Donati, etc. were Jews, it says. I know that they have a thing called Donatello wines. I'll bet you Donati and Donatello are the same. And did not the renowned Togliatti, the leader for many years of the Italian Communist Party, marry the Jewess Montagnana? Montagnana. I guess that's how you'd say that. Now, let me just stop right there, as I always do. I have to mention. But I thought the Jews can't race mix. I thought they had to stay in their own race, which doesn't exist. See, they've been race mixing for years and years and years and years and years, and they have to. But they tell you, you see, again, this again is that word we just looked up, right? Which means pious, sanctimonious. See, they pretend that they have to be pure, but they don't live like that. They only say they have to be pure. So it continues, and was not her brother, Mario Montagnana, in the directorship of the newspaper L'Unita, which means United, in its Milan edition? It should be known in addition that, likewise, those who directed the communist press in Italy were Jews. Longo, Vi Nuovo, Alatri, L'Unita of Rome, United of Rome, Tedeschi, L'Unita of Milan. Cohen directs the Pays Sera, quote-unquote. Levi, the Lotta Syndicale. These are all names of communist papers. And Giacchia, like Jakin. Giacchia, the paper Repubblica, who came from there into directing the press of the Communist Party. And it gives you all these testimonies of all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, you see what's been going on way before you were born? Is it any wonder? How is it that you don't know, most of you out there don't know that you're in a war with these Jews, that you have been before you were even born? That the two seed lines are at war with one another, the wheat and the tares, Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel, the offspring of Adam and the offspring of Cain, the Edomites, pretending they're who you really are. You're the Israelites, not them. They're not of any of the tribes of Israel. How is it that a man lives his life and then I don't want to use the word lucky, but if he's astute enough or seeks the truth, it takes him until he's well into the middle of his life to find out what's really going on in the world. How are all these things hidden from us through all our lives? So this is part three, the synagogue of Satan. See, that was a term from the scriptures, and it's in this book from 1962, the synagogue of Satan. Chapter one, Jewish striving for power. The Hebrew people was chosen by God as preserver of the true religion, to whose preservation it was entrusted in the midst of the idolatrous peoples until the arrival of the old promised, until the arrival of the promised Messiah, in whom the prophecies of the older part of the Testament should be fulfilled. However, even before the coming of Christ, the Jews began to distort the said prophecies by giving them a false, racial, and ambitious interpretation. You see, these Catholics, you know what's amazing to me? That these Catholics that have all the secret information, they don't know that the white people are the true Israel of the Bible. It is amazing, isn't it? So it continues, the promise of a kingdom of a true God upon earth, of the true God upon earth, i.e. a spiritual kingdom of the true religion, the Jews interpreted as a material kingdom of their race, as the promise of God of world dominion to the Israelites. It's funny that this book uses the term Israelites when anybody else doesn't. The Jews don't call themselves Israelites, they call themselves Israelis. And an enslaving of all the peoples of the earth through these Jews. As examples of these false interpretations, one can quote the following. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 17 and 18, the angel of Yahweh says to Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, you know that the Jews have not blessed any of the nations of the world, right? But something just dawned on me as I just read this. You see, before Napoleon let the Jews out, they had a gate on their street and they were locked down at night. And they had to wear things like in Germany, like they had to wear these yellow bonnets and yellow things in Napoleon's time and before that, because we possessed the gates of our enemies, you see? But now we're in the time of Jacob's trouble. So we used to possess the gate of our enemies. So listen again and you'll see what I'm saying. That in blessing I will bless thee, speaking us, to us, the seed of Abraham, not the Jews. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies, the Jews, the Edomites. and in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, this was all true that we were a blessing to all the nations of the earth until the Jews got this to be a democracy, brought in the New Deal and all that kind of stuff. And now 2/3 of our race have been wiped off the planet. So the Father had made us a great percentage of the world population. But now we're in the time of Jacob's trouble, and we've been decimated heavily and are being decimated every day. Now listen, the Jews lusting for power have given these verses a materialistic interpretation and think that God has offered them the full-blooded descendant. They're not the full-blooded. These Catholics don't get it, man. They're not the full-blooded descendants of Abraham. Christ said so. See, he's saying that they have power over the gates of their foes, and that only in them, the Jewish race, which is not a race, all the peoples of the earth be blessed. Well, how could the Jewish being possessing our gates? Number one, here's a problem with this. The Jews don't want any gates. They want open borders. So we have problems with this interpretation, don't we? On the other hand, if the Jews possess our lands, has it been a blessing to our nations, the Jews being in our nations? And through democracy enslaving the people, is that a blessing to us to be enslaved? Is it a blessing for us to be torn down with taxes and usury and everything else? Is it a blessing to die on the abortion table? Is it a blessing to have all these filthy things in our selling organs, blood, you know, all the things the Jews do, pornography, theft, all the things that they do in our nations, is that a blessing to our nations? They don't possess our gates. They don't want any gates. You see? And so these Catholics don't get it any more than anybody else gets it. I get it, though. It's very simple. So, it continues, this is the victory that the spiritual children of Abraham, i.e. the Christians, see, that's a lie. And in other words, what they're trying to con us with is they're trying to tell us that the Jews are the physical children of Abraham, but the Christians are the spiritual. This is a bunch of nonsense, complete nonsense. And, of course, the Catholics would promote such doctrines. So we'll just skip that little part. Baruch Levy wrote to his pupil, the young Jew Karl Marx, as the later founder of what was badly described as scientific socialism, where he quoted apparent theological principles to justify the right of the Jews to appropriate themselves the riches of all the peoples on earth through proletarian communist movements, which are controlled by Jewry. You see, these Catholics can't interpret the Bible correctly, and I'm not going to bother reading that because they don't understand the scripture. The prophecy alluding to the spiritual kingdom of Christ and his church takes on for the Jews a completely altered meaning, which crystallizes in clearly recognizable actions. Wherever the Jewish dictatorship was set up, as for example in the Terror in France in the year 1789, or in the Jewish communist dictatorship in the lands which have fallen in the claws of the monster, they're calling the Jews a monster. And they worship the monstrance. See, I found out what that golden statue of the sun is. It's called the monstrance. And right in it, it has the Jewish Solomon seal, which has 666 encoded in it. The monstrance and his offspring, the claws of the monster. It says right here that the lands that the Terror in France in the year 1789, or in the Jewish communist dictatorship in the lands which have fallen into the claws of the monster, whoever did not serve the Jews or dared to rebel against their slavery has been destroyed. The Jews exist only as owners, for they gain power over the wealth of these nations. So one could go on in this way to quote verses of the older part of the Testament that have been falsely interpreted by Jewish imperialism. One must bear in mind that many of the prophets were murdered by the Jews only because they contradicted them and blamed them for their perversion. However, the most dangerous of these false interpretations of the prophecies of the Bible was that in connection with the arrival of the Messiah as the Redeemer of the human race, who, see, these are wrong terms. He's not the Redeemer of the human race, folks. Human means colored man. Hue. See, these are improper things, and these are supposed to be men that have studied the scriptures, and they're supposed to be these men who understand the script. They don't understand the scriptures. Clearly they don't. You know they don't because you do understand them, most of you that are listening. Once you understand what it really means, you understand that these people are off on the wrong things. So, let's see what else we can see here. Listen to this nonsense. When Jesus preached the equality of all men before God, the Jews thought, and they did so with good reason, that Christ, with his teachings, would render null or void their false views concerning Israel. When did Jesus preach the equality of all men before God? I never heard him preach the equality of all men before God, did you? And besides, the real problem is, if you want to say all men, only white men are included in man. Right? So this book has gone off the rails here at this point. We'll see if we can get back on the rails here at some point. Okay, here's a part here. Let's try to go to this. Let's see how much time we have. Well, I think we ran over time a little bit. I must explain to you, this show will probably go a little longer than normal because the power cut out right after on the 19th minute, by the way. 19. It went out right at 19. So that's about all I can say. And as I always do at the end of these shows, I give this good advice. Don't go down the wrong hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The signs of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yet just do the best you can. That they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face.